Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. If you've seen 2001, A Space Odyssey, the idea of floating in space for months at a time with no privacy, overseen by super intelligent machines like the HAL 9000, it might seem like a nightmare. But for six scientists over the past 8 months, this has kind of been their reality. And that's because up until a week ago, those scientists have all been living under a dormant Hawaiian volcano in an attempt to simulate life on Mars. And if there's been any HAL in this scenario, it's been Dr. Kim Binstead. She's the principal researcher of this study and a professor at the University of Hawaii. Binstead explains how she communicated with her team and how the simulation worked.
We have some video, but mostly we interact with them by email with a 20-minute delay each way to simulate the time it takes for a message to get to and from Mars.
So the point here is to really replicate conditions on Mars as accurately as possible, communicating via email with delay and the whole thing.
Yeah, there's some things we can't simulate, obviously, the atmosphere, the gravity, but we do our best with the things we can simulate.
So Dr. Binstead, I want you to forgive me if my questions are sort of sci-fi based. I don't have a lot of points of reference here for what this must be like for your crew and to be studying them. But I saw some pictures of a white kind of golf ball shaped dome on a Marscape type of volcanic mountain in Hawaii with only mountains in the distance. And I guess the idea here is replication as close to the Martian surface as you can get on Earth.
That's right. We replicate what we can. And Mauna Loa, where the habitat is situated, is very similar to Martian geology. Olympus Mons is a shield volcano, and so is Mauna Loa.
Okay, so the crew is inside the dome. And what are they doing while they're inside? What are you looking for?
We're looking at crew cohesion and performance. So essentially, how crews perform and relate to each other over time and how that affects their performance. We're trying to keep them from killing each other, essentially.
Yeah, and that's part of the question because, again, my sci-fi questions, I'm sorry. My mind is going to a sort of Lost in Space or Robinson Crusoe type of scenario where you might slowly lose it or start to suspect the people around you. What kind of psychology are we looking at here?
Well, we pick very low drama people to be on the cruise, so it's not nearly as exciting as science fiction, but we do see problems come up. So we see issues in communication with mission support. We see some social issues within the crew, and we also see changes in individual psychology over time. So sometimes people get depressed, sometimes people get stressed, particularly if something goes wrong, quote unquote, back on Earth. And we do our best to support them and to track that over time.
Yeah, so what is a typical cohesion disrupting scenario, if you can give me an example?
Well, for example, someone might get bad news from someone back at home. You know, your dog died, a relative is ill. And that's obviously going to stress the individual crew member, but it's also going to stress the team because the team then needs to step up and figure out how to help the person out and how to keep everything going.
And the other crew members are trained if something goes wrong with one person, let's say your dog died or there was a disruption back home, how does everyone else help deal with it to keep cohesion solid?
In a number of different ways. So before the mission, one of the things that we get the crew to do is to talk through some of these scenarios and to tell their crew members, one, how it would affect them, and two, how they would hope their crew members would support them. So, you know, some people, when they get stressed, they prefer to be by themselves. Some people like to have people around them to cheer them up and so on. So we get that established ahead of time. Also, mission support is trained to look for some of these problems and to respond accordingly.
Is there any opportunity to be alone inside the environment that you've constructed for them?
Well, they have very, very small bedrooms, and they do have doors that shut. The problem more is auditory privacy. It's very difficult to have a private conversation.
With another crew member or even with a video link or something like that?
Exactly, yeah. And because of the 20-minute delay, the crew can't just pick up the phone and call someone, but they do record video and record audio to send to their friends at home.
You know, Dr. Binstead, I'm sorry. I'm just a regular earthling and just a radio guy, and every time you describe what goes on there, my mind goes to sci-fi. You say you can't have a private conversation. Of course I'm thinking 2001, when the crew members had to get away from HAL, so they went inside a pod, only to have their lips read. Sorry for the spoilers, everyone. If you haven't seen it, it's your own problem. So, I mean, that's a problem in sci-fi that sort of presents itself in real life.
Yep, it's true. You know, the crew they can have a sort of private conversation when they're out on EVA. That stands for extravehicular activity, and it's NASA E's for going outside. But even then, it's over the radio, and so it's not exactly as private as you might hope.
So it's only been a week. What have you learned about what it's going to take to house humans on Mars for an extended period of time in real conditions? Do they need more space? Do you need a different type of person psychologically than you thought? What have you learned?
Well, we're still going through all the data, so the recommendations I can share right now might seem fairly obvious, but one is you pick people who are already good at handling stress and good at staying cohesive, but you have to also be ready for even the very best people to have problems. Astronauts are notoriously stoic, and they can tough things out, but you can't just tough things out for the 2.5 to 3 years of a Mars mission. You need to be able to respond to problems and be resilient under stress.
So that means that a stoic astronaut or researcher, whoever they are, is going to be tempted to keep their problems to themselves, stick it out, do the job, and that might lead to simmering tensions that aren't good for the mission?
That's exactly right. And so some of the technologies we've been testing on these missions are about how to detect these problems without them being reported. So how do you tell that there's trouble brewing in the crew without asking them?
Is there another group getting ready to go back into another dome? Do you need another experiment?
We are starting a 12-month mission in August, and we are in the process of selecting the crew right now.
There won't be a screening of 2001 ahead of time, I'm sure, since that's my deal. But Dr. Binstead, your research is very, very interesting, bringing us another step closer to humans on Mars and what it's going to take psychologically to put us there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Kim Binstead is a professor at the University of Hawaii. She's also the principal researcher for the 8-month Mars simulation study that just wrapped up on the volcanic slopes of a Hawaiian mountain.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.